Have you ever seen an angel? Well, God's Word is the setting of some of the most amazing true angel stories that have taken place in the history of the world, from Bible times to our day. So, prepare yourself as we take off on a mini two-part flight to realms far more amazing, relevant, and real than any that science fiction writers and fable makers have imagined in their most dazzling dreams and daring moments. Some true stories about angels. Actually, I co-authored two books of angel stories, and I want to share just a few of them. If you like them, perhaps Hope TV will encourage me to do a series on angels, because these amazing encounters with angels are from some pretty reliable sources. John Wesley was probably as proper and conservative an Englishman as you'd ever meet. Wesley was not a radical or a revolutionary, at least not from our modern perspective, but he had the Church of England as shaken up as if he were the Antichrist in clerical robes. Wesley was not brash, fanatical, or unscrupulous, nor was he a disturber of the peace. In fact, he was a benefactor to the poor, imprisoned, and oppressed. And yet, when Wesley came to town, the church authorities would declare war against him and his helpers. You see, Wesley preached the gospel of Scripture. His teachings were similar to those found in the book of Acts, and he produced the same results as did the apostles. He shook up the regular order of things to make way for truths that turned the world upside down. See Acts 4:13-33 and Acts 17:6. So disturbingly biblical were Wesley's teachings that, although he was not an ordained Anglican minister, he was compelled to do most of his preaching outdoors and in chapels especially erected for his meetings that the established church strongly, desperately feared. Wesley's supporters, who had become known as Methodists, were persecuted for their efforts. Sometimes priests incited mobs to break up the meeting and rough up the Methodist preachers. Well, in 1746, Wesley went to the city of Falmouth to visit a sick man. While in Falmouth, Wesley held some meetings which aroused the indignation of those who wanted to remain comfortable in the practice of their fashionable sins. While hearing that Wesley was at the sick man's house, a mob went in search of the preacher to beat him up. And if he should die in the process, then England would be rid of an arch-heretic, as far as they were concerned. While gathering in front of the house, they shouted, "Where is the Methodist? We want the Methodist." Wesley did not come out, so the mob decided to break into the house. Knocking down the door, they rushed inside and charged up the stairs. When they reached the bedroom, they found that the door was locked. The men in front held back, but some sailors bustled forward saying, "Avast, lads, avast!" These burly men were little better than pirates and glorified in a fight. Taking turns, several of these sailors flung their bulky weight against the door, and after a few batterings, the door fell down with its hinges flying off. There was nothing now between them and the man they so blindly hated. Nothing. That is, except the angels and the power of God. Wesley arose from the chair where he had been sitting and, looking steadily into the men's eyes, said, "Here I am. Did one of you want to talk to me?" The angry men stood still. Their roaring and shouting died away. As Wesley, who was barely 5 feet tall and weighed scarcely 100 pounds, walked forward, these big burly men fell back. Wesley advanced into the upper passageway, and the mobsters pressed themselves against the wall to give him room to pass. All through the passageway and down the stairs, the attackers pressed back against the wall and railing, as though an unseen force were pushing them aside. With glowering eyes and murder in their hearts, they watched Wesley, but they could not lift a foot or a fist against him. As Wesley made his way through the hostile crowd, he spoke calmly to them, reproving them for their hatefulness and challenging them to give one reason for their wicked behavior. Hundreds of men blocked the door outside and filled the street, but they too were compelled to make way for the diminutive Wesley, who was a giant in the faith and a champion of truth rarely seen in any age. God commissioned angels to protect the life of his valiant servant. Does God send angels to protect his servants in our own time? Well, angels need not always be visible in order to be evident. One of the world's greatest champions of liberty, Roger Williams, who founded the state of Rhode Island, never reported having seen an angel. Nonetheless, he was keenly aware of the role of divine providence time and time again, from death at the hand of Puritan persecutors who could not tolerate Roger Williams' ideas of freedom and purity of worship. When he fled from Salem and was banished from the Massachusetts Bay Colony in the bitterest cold of winter, he felt that as truly as God sent food to Elijah by the ravens, so God had sent food and supplies to him by the Indians. He even wrote some poetic verses about these providences. And eventually he named the city of Providence, because Roger Williams knew that angels of God went with him. He considered himself the agent in God's providence for the first planting of the standard of full religious liberty in the New World, Providence, Rhode Island. Now, fast forward to our day. During a revolutionary period a few years ago in an African country that is still in political turmoil, Mike Pearson served as a pastor in a large district situated in the midst of the conflict. Three times a week, he had to drive on the main highway where the traffic was sparse because of guerrilla activity. Anybody who traveled that way was subject to being killed without cause. But Pastor Mike was faithful, and several times a week for about 2 years, he drove along this road to fulfill his pastoral duties. Finally, the day came when the two sides declared a truce, and a shaky peace returned to that African country. One day, Pastor Mike had some official business to conduct at a government office. After completing his errand, he came out of the building and was astonished to be greeted by a tall man in military dress with bandoliers and grenades attached to his uniform. With a genial smile, the soldier said to Pastor Pearson, "Sir, I'd like to shake your hand." Well, Pastor Mike is a friendly person, but this approach from such a stranger took him by surprise. So he answered, "Oh, why would you like to do that?" The soldier replied, "I'd like to shake the hand of the man we could not kill." Pastor Mike said, "Please explain. Did you not used to travel on the main highway every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday and pass the midpoint at about 10 o'clock a.m. on those days in your brown Toyota wagon?" "Yes," Pastor Mike answered, his curiosity rising. "Well, sir, on 7 different occasions, my fellow guards and I tried to kill you. Our plan was to shoot you as you drove by. Each time you came along, we had you clearly in sight from our post in the bush, but our guns refused to work when we pressed the triggers. As soon as you drove out of range, the guns would work again. We carefully tested our AK-47s before and after your passing through that way, and they worked flawlessly, but then they simply would not fire when we directed them against you. It could only have been a spirit or an angel that kept our guns from working. So that's why I'd like to shake your hand. God is on your side, or you are on his." What a strange experience it must have been for Pastor Pearson to shake the hand of his would-be assassin. But how gratifying for him to know that he was under the care of angels, even when he was oblivious to danger. Psalm 91:11 says, "He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Two opposite reasons have made this perhaps the most famous angel verse in all of the Bible. The first is that it comes from the 91st Psalm, which God's people have treasured for thousands of years. The second reason is that Satan tried to make deceptive use of this verse when tempting Jesus over there in the wilderness, remember? He wanted the Savior to presume on God's protecting care by jumping off the pinnacle of the temple and thereby challenge his father to give him a safe landing. Jesus would never allow himself to be lured into daring God to prove his word. Not only did Satan misapply this verse when presenting it to Jesus as an excuse for recklessly endangering his life, but he also misquoted it. Satan omitted the words, "in all your ways." Today, is there a lesson for us in this? Yes. God will keep us safe and secure when our ways harmonize with his way. Stay tuned for more miracles of walking with angels.